little bit about being a Christian, and I really, but I guess the thing that always that I always thought was Christians are good people, and if I'm going to be a Christian, I have to be good. So there's this one day in January, I think, when I was 9 years old, I was just really sad about something. I don't know what it was or if there was something, but I was just really sad, and I was on my mom's bed crying by myself, and I just wanted, like, an answer. And I remember wanting God, but I was scared because I knew I didn't have the strength to be good. And I thought that's what, I didn't understand how Christians could always be good because I wasn't good. So I had this struggle going on. I wanted to pray, but I knew I couldn't be good. And so I wanted to be a Christian, but I didn't know how it worked. And so I remember praying and kind of almost making a bargain with God, like, I'll be a Christian if you'll help me be good. And just this huge weight was lifted off of me, and I just felt so at peace. And I remember writing little notes to my mom and dad and probably sisters, and I don't remember who, and told everybody I'd gotten saved. And that was, I think a couple people wrote back to me and, you know, said that was wonderful and probably gave me a little advice or something. But it was like nobody really took the time to explain anything to me or to make sure or to see how I was doing. And so I just got lost in the crowd again and very shy. We were always homeschooled. We didn't have that many friends. We were just always at home, and I just played outside a lot. I loved being outside and playing in the woods, and that's all I did. We were very lazy. I did not have very many chores. I did not work hardly at all. And so there was some happy memories of playing out in our woods. We had 8 acres, and there was two or three little ponds on the property in the spring and early summer, and that was my favorite ever. It was this one big one that had a bunch of rocks throughout it, and I would try to see if I could get from one side to the other by jumping on the rocks. Only once or twice I fell in, but it wasn't deep. Then I guess when I got to be a little bit older, I don't know, by the time I was like 12 or something, I started like really wanting to be by myself a lot because I'm shy. I'm kind of like an introvert. I would rather be by myself. And I had this little brother who's not like that at all. And he always wanted to be with people, and he always wanted to be with me. And he would follow me everywhere I went, all day long, every day. And I tried so hard to be nice at first. I'd be like, Josh, just leave me alone. I want to be with you, he would say. I was like, I want to be by myself, but I want to be with you. And we would argue like that a little bit, and finally, I would just get angry. I was so frustrated with him. I would beat him up, and he would beat me up back. It was very bad. I would go pleading to my mother and say, make Joshua leave me alone. And she would say, Joshua, leave Angela alone. And it would go on the same way. He did not even hear her words. And so it was like I had no protection. I had to take care of myself. So I thought. And it got very ugly. I hated him. I grew to hate him. And I was terribly mean to him. And we fought like cats and dogs, and he just wanted to be with me all the time, and I did not want him with me. And anyway, when I was 15, I mean, I got baptized when I was 14, but I still didn't really understand. I still was just kind of one of the gang. Nobody really took time to see how I was doing or anything. And this one time, my dad had built a little, he called it his camper, where he would, like, this little cabin on a trailer that he could take out into the county forest and, like, have some quiet time. And but he would use it during the day, too, at home. And he one day wanted me to have dinner with him in his cabin. And I was scared silly because I'm so shy. I did not have a good relationship with him. I cried every time he talked to me at all about anything. And I was sick to my stomach for the entire day. I don't know why he asked me early on in the day, and I had to wait all day. I was just terrified, and I was thinking in my head of all these excuses I could make why I couldn't have dinner with him. And he had these cute little dishes in there and stuff that we would use, and I was just scared. I didn't know. I was just plain scared. And so finally the time came, and I was too scared to give any of my excuses. So I went in there with him, and I was just scared. And he could obviously tell I was scared. I mean, little people think they're hiding themselves really well, but they're not. People can see right through them. And I was probably like 14 anyway. I wasn't very little, but he asked me a couple questions. Like, he asked me if I, or he said, like, I had told him before that I'd gotten saved and wanted to know, like, how I was doing, and I didn't really say anything. I was just kind of shrug and, like, whatever, and he let me go back in the house. And so, like, I was very emotional as a girl. I was super emotional. And I didn't think I was emotional because some of my sisters were more emotional than I was. But I really was. I pretty much cried from the time I was 12 to 19 all the time. But so anyway, when I was about 15, I was still kind of just fighting this battle with Josh on my own. And but I remember reading in 1 John where it says that if you hate your brother, the love of God is not in you. And it just struck me, like, hard. I was like, I am wrong to have these feelings like this towards him. And it really convicted me. And so I prayed about it, and I tried from then on to use a different reproach. Like, he'd follow me. He was still following me. And I would try and just walk away, or instead of saying nasty things to him like I often did, I would try not to say anything at all. And when I was 15, I met this guy that I got this fancy that I would marry someday, and I was so stupid and naive. But I was like, I am going to marry that man. And he didn't even look twice at me. I mean, I was completely quiet. I never talked. He didn't even see me. I mean, and he was not thinking about me at all, but I was sure I would marry him. And I went through like 3 years of just agony. Just, it was bad. And my attitude was pretty, I don't know, pretty, I just didn't understand. It was kind of like I told God, well, the Bible says we can ask for what we want, so you better give him to me. That was kind of my attitude, and that's not the right attitude. And so then when I was 17, my dad died, and that was like just a huge shock because he wasn't like my security in like personally, but he was my security in some strange way. I don't know. So I didn't like lose a personal friend, but I lost my security. And that was like super hard. Just, I felt like I was completely on my own. Cause it was kind of like my dad's gonna take care of everything. And now all of a sudden it's like I'm standing by myself before God. It's like not my dad's problem anymore, it's mine. And it was kind of like a wake-up call because we were living, all of us young people in church were living very carelessly and very ridiculous. We were not godly at all. And the things we talked about, and in spite of the fact that I was super shy and didn't really talk at all, when I did talk, it wasn't good. I was living, pretty much living a double life because I would hang out with those friends, you goof off about all sorts of horrible things that we should not have been talking about. But then we'd all go to church and sit there and sing like little saints. And our parents never would have even had a clue what was going on. This one Sunday I got bold enough to do something during church towards this one friend of mine who was, you could just get a rise out of her, so I did. But it was not a good kind of a rise. It was like a bad subject that I wouldn't want to taint your ears with the subject matter. So, but I did that, and of course she like laughing and covering her face, and I was poking her and stuff. And on the way home from church, my dad asked me what we were laughing about. And I about died in the back seat because I would never have told him. Somehow, something came up and he never got an answer out of me. So I never had to tell him what was going on, but that shook me up a little bit, like, what am I doing? And I knew I couldn't tell him, and if I couldn't tell him, maybe I shouldn't be doing it. But anyway, I'm all mixed up because I already said he died. Anyway, after my dad died, my brother started preaching after a few months, and he's pretty extreme, and he preached pretty much one-sided stuff, like God hates sin, and it was all true stuff, but there was no grace. I didn't understand grace at all. I didn't understand what Jesus did. So I became extremely condemned and felt like I could never do anything right. Just my... I just felt like there was this huge gap between me and God, and there was no way I could get to him. I would be reading through the Bible and reading the Gospels and all the stories about Jesus, and I just would cry and cry and cry because I did not know the Jesus that was in the Bible. The only Jesus I knew was somebody who was condemning me. And I would pray and pray like I wanted to know this Jesus that was in the Bible. But I was so condemned I couldn't really pray at all. I would pray like two words or three words, like, help me. That's basically all I could say was help me. And I would even try to pray for other people, and it was like, why are you praying for somebody else when you're such a mess? Like, and so I couldn't even pray for other people. And That was like about 2 years that went on. And I was just miserable. Well, then we had heard about Keith Daniel, and some of us went down to Minnesota to hear him speak once, and I have no remembrance of what he talked about or anything. I don't remember anything about it, but I remember we went up and talked to him after the meeting, and Brandon was with us, and Brandon was talking to him a little bit, and I remember Keith saying, "Don't judge yourselves." That's the only words I remember him saying. Don't judge yourselves. But it wasn't so much what he said, but it was something about his manner and something about his eyes that just pierced through my heart. I was like, if anybody on the planet, if there's anything on the planet that looks like Jesus, it's that. That was the closest thing I had ever seen to looking like Jesus in the Bible, who he was. And so we went home, and I just could not get it out of my head, like what he had said and how he had looked at us. And I was hanging up laundry, and I was just probably praying. And it just suddenly like made sense to me why Jesus came and what he did. Because I was a filthy, rotten, dirty little sinner. That big. And God was pure and holy and good and righteous and 1,000 miles away from me, and there was no way I could get to him. But Jesus' blood made a bridge to God. And it was the first time, like, I had heard it my whole life, but I never understood it. And so it was that was the first time it just clicked with me. Jesus opened the way for me to get to God by his blood. He made a bridge, literally, over that gap that I could get there. And I became so extremely happy that I could not keep my feet on the ground. And I didn't tell anybody about it. I don't know, I just didn't think of telling anybody, but pretty soon everybody started asking me, "What happened to you?" And so eventually I started telling people, like, I understood it for the first time, what Jesus did for me. And I had a couple of years of amazing freedom, and I just loved everybody. I was not afraid anymore. Before that, I was always afraid of everything. And I just remember telling this one friend of mine who was really interested in what happened to me. He was always asking me, "Explain it again. Explain it. Tell me what happened." And I remember just saying, "I don't really know. I just know I'm not scared anymore. And I don't feel condemned." And there was so many wonderful verses in the Bible that just became like so precious to me. And well, that was when I was 19, so that was quite a few years ago. Then after that, I don't remember much the time frame, but this guy was still a problem for me. And I was super, or I got super scared after a couple of years to trust God with that part of my life. I was like, if I, like, surrender him to you, I thought he would take him away. And we had, at this point, we had gotten to be very close friends. We were together a lot. We were talking a lot. And so it seemed even more possible that it might happen. But I was so scared to just let God decide. I was like, I can't give this part of me to God because what if he takes him away? And I didn't feel like I could handle it. But I started getting convicted, really convicted about it, because I wasn't trusting God with that. I wanted to run that part of my life, and I knew I didn't have... I knew if he was my Lord, he had to be my Lord over every area of my life. And so I eventually... It was a process. It was probably, I'm going to say, about 6 months it took me before I was able to let go of him completely and say, you can do whatever you want with this story. I'm in your hands. Well, almost immediately after I did that, I'm going to say a month later, I met Jason. And I was super sensitive to the subject of guys. I was like, I gave him up. I am not going there ever again. I am not going to ever like anybody again until I get married. I am not ever going to get my heart set on somebody. And I was planning on falling in love after I got married. I don't know what I was thinking, but he came to church because a couple of guys at our church worked with him and they invited him to church, and I was like, oh good, we'd been praying that he would get saved, like that's all I thought. And he kept coming, and I noticed that he looked at me a couple times, but, I mean, guys always look at me. So I was like... So I didn't really think anything of it. And pretty soon, all my friends started telling me, he's looking at you, he's looking at you. Didn't you see him looking at you? And I was like, stop looking at him! I screamed, I freaked out, I ran, I was like, don't ever say anything about it. And no, they would not stop. Every week, I had two or three people saying, didn't you see him looking at you? And I was like, by this point, I could see him looking at me. Nobody had to tell me. And I literally freaked out. I was like, what are you doing, God? I do not want another. I do not want to do this. And I just rebelled. All of me rebelled. I was so scared. And he was really sweet, though. And he kept... he kept looking at me. And he was just so different from all the other guys I had known, because all the other guys were so proud and stuck up, and they thought they did the world a service by coming into it. And they thought that... It was my duty to like them or something, and that's just disgusting. But anyway, he was different. He just had a totally different attitude. And he would just smile at me when he came to church or say hi, and that was it. He didn't be all stupid and dumb. Anyways, we knew each other for a year. Like, we got closer. We occasionally, once in a while, we'd stay at church till everyone else left, and then it would just be the two of us, and we talked a couple times. And eventually, my car needed tires, and he offered to give me to put new tires on my car. And I mean, I didn't like going into mechanic shops. They freak me out. You know, I don't know anything about cars. And I was like, sure. I think it was a Wednesday night. Sunday night, I think it was. He came to church and asked me if he could take my car, put new tires on it, and bring it back. So I said, sure. And he took my car. And, of course, I had gone to bed by the time he got back because it was late. And he brought my car back. And there was just this little inkling inside of me that I just needed to go look inside my car the next morning. But I didn't want to just go out there and look because I didn't want my family to know what I was doing. So I had to wait until I had an excuse to go outside. And I think I went out to carry wood or something. Anyways, I went out there and he had vacuumed my car spotless and put this little note on my seat that said, you know, I hope you have a wonderful day or something. And that was like, I melted a little bit. So anyway, I can't tell all the details. I'll be here too long. We started talking more. Of course, I tried to pay him and thank him for the tires and stuff. And he was like, it's nothing. Like, your thankfulness and your wonderful heart is like all I need. That I don't need any money. I melted a little bit more and Well, then after we had known each other for a year, we started dating. And but he had only recently been saved. Like, he was young Christian, and he wasn't confident at all in being a Christian or being a leader. And he also kind of thought that because I was a good Christian girl, that it would just be smooth sailing. And I thought, I don't know what I thought. But I remember being really scared before it happened and praying a lot. God, whatever happens, just please help us both to trust you more and to hold on to you no matter what. I never prayed like specifically, let this happen, let this not happen. I left it up to God, but I said, whatever happens, help us to trust you and to hang on to you no matter what happens. So we started dating, and we dated for like 6 months, and I was so insecure. I mean, I'm still insecure, but this was like 7 years ago, and I was even way more insecure. And I was trying to get my security from him, and he didn't have any security for himself, so he definitely didn't have enough for me. And it didn't work. We were both trying to fill almost a void in our hearts with each other. And we found out that it wasn't working, which neither one of us understood it at the time. We didn't know why. And both of us are pretty bad at communicating. So we didn't talk about it, really. We just kind of like, it just kind of like got worse and worse till we weren't even hardly talking to each other. And I was, of course, I was crying like all the time and trying not to cry in front of him because I didn't want him to know how weak I was. And it was ugly. And finally he was like, I can't do this anymore. I don't understand what's going on. Like, I need time to sort things out. like, this is it. We're done. And it was such a shock to me because all now that I got him, my prayer was, I was very, like, definitely hanging on to him. And I was like, God, you have to heal our relationship. You have to fix this. You have to help us. And it just didn't seem like he was answering at all or listening to me. And I just did not understand why he would allow it to happen just to break it apart. I just couldn't understand it. And so I, like, the very depths of my being broke when we broke up, and I lost every bit of security and every bit of everything that I had. And I hardly did anything besides sometimes make it through a day of work without leaving early because I was crying. And I would just go to my room after work and just cry all the time. And I kept reading the Bible. And there was many wonderful verses that really helped me. And then, like about 2 months after we had broken up, Keith and Jenny came to Rhinelander for meetings, and Keith preached a message that I think was just for me. And because he even said that he had something else prepared before he got there, and somehow God was telling him to speak that. And it was this verse in Proverbs that says, a wounded spirit who can bear, or something like that. But he talked about when you've been wounded, when you've been broken, what you need to do, and how you need to make the Word of God your life. How you need to literally devour it. It has to be your foundation. And that really, really helped me to put aside all the feelings that I had. I was mad at everybody I knew because of the situation. I mean, I was hurting so bad. I was like, I was mad at him. I was mad at myself. I was mad at everybody who had told us we would be such a wonderful couple. I was just mad at God. I was mad at, and I knew it was wrong to be mad. And I always prayed for forgiveness and, like, that I would be able to forgive and stuff, but it was a process. And but I started, like, reading more, and there was verses that I hadn't ever read before that just popped out at me, and it was like they became my lifeline. They became like the foundation under me, because this is what God says, and this is how I feel. But God's word doesn't ever change, and I can stand on it. So that is the only thing that got me through, is the Word of God. If I had not had the Word of God, I would not be here. And I kept finding verses that would help me, and I would underline them and read them over and over and over again. And say, even though every single fiber of my being feels like this, this is what God says, and this is what I'm going to believe. I feel hated, I feel rejected, I feel betrayed, I feel like the worst pile of trash on the planet. But God says He cares about me, that He loves me, that He is taking care of me, and this is what I choose to believe. It is not anything to do with your feelings. And if you cannot separate your feelings from what God says, you're probably going to wash out, because the feelings are so strong. The feelings are what you are. Like, that's your feelings are, I don't know how to explain it, but you all know what your feelings are like and how strong they are. But if they're lies, where are they going to take you? So you absolutely have to cut your feelings off from what you believe or from the choices that you make. I feel like being mad at everybody in this situation. I don't want to forgive. I do not feel like it was fair. I can have all the excuses that I want, but God still says I have to forgive. That means I have to let my feelings go and forgive. And so I did that. And I kept praying for answers, and I kept praying for help. And I can't go on and on because I would go all the way till 5 o'clock. But God was right beside me the whole way, giving me little truths from His Word that I could hang on to, that I could trust. Like in Psalm 119, 105, it says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." My path ahead was like darker than midnight. I could not see anything at all. But right down here at my feet was a little tiny light to say, "Step here." And so it's scary when it's that dark. If you've ever gone through an unknown house or building in the dark, you are terrified, especially if you have bare feet. You feel everywhere around. You feel a little bit with your feet. I mean, you're scared to just, you don't just go walking straight ahead in the dark because you could run into something. So that's how it was. All I could see was one step, one step, one step, and it looks completely dark and it looks completely terrifying, and I don't feel like I'm going to make it, but I can take one step. So I realized a bunch of things, but I went to a journey to the heart because I wanted answers. I wanted God. I wanted to know what He wanted from me. And it was a very healing time for me. Not nearly as much as I wanted, but it was like a glimmer of light. And it was then that I realized how small, and well, on the way to the journey, I remember praying. I was crying like the whole way down to Chicago, and I was praying and praying, and I remember saying, "God, I know You're really big. I know You're big enough to make billions of stars and to hold the world together, but are You small enough to see how bad I'm hurting?" And I was going into a group of like 80 different girls. I didn't know almost any of them. I didn't know the people who were going to be leading me. And when I met the girl that was going to be my leader, I just, oh man, like, why did I even come? Because she just rubbed me the wrong way when I first met her. She didn't look like somebody that could understand me. She was very short. She had long, dangly earrings. She was loud and talkative. And I was like crying my eyes out that whole day. And it just didn't seem like she would understand me. But that night at the meeting, all the leaders got up and gave a little testimony. And hers was about a guy that she was having trouble with. She wanted him really bad. Her parents said no, and she was struggling with that. And I was like, wow, God, you really do know where I am. And you really know who to put me with. So we had a very good week together. And anyway, it was there that I learned that it's all about God. It's not about me. And he's got, like, he has the right to do what he wants to in my life. And also, I realized if I sit around and think about how much I'm hurting and how much my life is ruined, I'm going to die. If I get up, I have to just get up and start serving somebody and start helping somebody else. Because if I sit here and just think about my own misery, I'm just going to get more miserable. And I've always wanted to do something like working with girls, and I always thought I couldn't do it, and I can't. But it was there that I realized that if God wanted me to do something, it was all about him and not about me. And I got this idea for the girls' camp, and I came home and talked to somebody about it. And she was like, yeah, I'll help you. So it began. So that helped me a lot, just focusing on helping other people and stop focusing on how bad I'm hurting. I'm just like, God, I'm going forward for you. I don't know what you're doing with my life. I don't know if you're ever going to heal me, but I'm going to do what you tell me to do, and I'm going to go forward. And I don't know where to go from here. Eventually, I came to the point where one night I was just so miserable and so broken. Well, I remember this one lady that has always kind of been like a rock in my life. She's always been a support and a spiritual comforter and guide and stuff. But anyway, she came to visit once, and she wanted to talk to me, and she asked like how it was going and stuff. And I told her, like, I'm just trusting God. I don't really want to talk about it anymore. Like, I am tired of going over and over all the possibilities and the what ifs, and I'm just trusting God to take care of it. And then I was like, but I'll just say one thing. I don't remember what I said, but I said something about the situation. And because I said one thing, then she said one thing. And then she started talking about it and basically said some things that just shook me all the way to the core for the second time. Because by this time, Jason had been warmed up to me. He had actually talked to me. We were actually making eye contact. I felt like it was going okay. Because, of course, afterwards, there's so many emotions and stuff. We didn't even look at each other. We didn't even talk to each other. Well, she made it sound like he had told somebody that he never loved me and that it was all over and everything. And I didn't know where she had gotten the information from. But I assumed a couple things, and it just crushed me. And I went home that night, and I was so numb. I was like, I don't think I really slept at all, but I was this sort of subconscious disappearance from reality. And I physically hurt so bad from the stress. I felt like I was having a heart attack. And the next morning I had to get up and go to church, and I didn't feel like I could face anybody. I got to church and I met Joyce, and most of you, I think, know Joyce. And she hugged me, and of course she can read me, and she's like, what is wrong? And I started bawling, and she pulled me into a side room, and I cried for an hour, and she's like, seriously, you can't go off what one person says. I mean, you're the one. She tried to reason with me and help me, and we prayed together. And but the fear of what this lady had told me just kept eating at me at the very depths of my being. And the fear was like, what if I see him get a different girl from this church and I have to be okay with that? And I thought it would kill me. And so the one night I went out to our church to play the piano, basically just to be by myself. And I looked out the window as I was playing, and I saw that the sunset was just phenomenal. And I got up to go by the window and look out. And when I got up to the window, I started crying because it was really beautiful. And I was just so broken. And finally, I'm like, God, what do you want? What do you want from me? And it was like he was so close. And he said, I want your heart. And I said, you can have it. You can have every part of it. All I want is for you to heal me. If I never talk to Jason again, you can have that. I just want you to heal me. And I felt him closer than I've ever felt. It was like a human was standing beside me. And I just let go. I just opened my hands. And I said, you can have this story. You can have this. If you never do anything with it besides what it is right now, if you send him somewhere else, you can have him. He's not mine. He's yours. And I'm yours. And you can make this story end however you want. And it was very freeing, but I still loved him. But it was like it was a turning point where I was able to just move forward and let God have the final say, and stop like trying to sort it all out, and stop trying to figure things out, but let God answer. And I think it was just a couple weeks after that happened that we had this huge snowstorm, like 18 inches of snow in one night. And I lived only a block away from work at the time. But I was like, I don't want to walk through all this snow. I don't know what I was thinking, because my car would not have driven through that snow. But I was planning on taking my car to work. Well, I got out there, opened the door, and there was a letter on my seat, and nobody leaves stuff in my car besides Jason. And my heart stopped beating. I was so scared, I didn't even know if I could open it and read it. And you know how you like read a couple lines and then read ahead, and then because you want to make sure you know how it's going to end. And basically, he just apologized and said, you know, you weren't the, because I had written him a letter apologizing for blaming him. And he's like, you're not the only one that was wrong. Like, I was also trying to get my security from you. And right at the end of the letter, he said, I see now that God was the glue that our relationship needed. So we had some communication then. Kind of, we talked about getting back together, but it didn't like really happen. And he was struggling with something else at that point. And so it was almost like for the second time, I got my hopes up and they got smashed. Because we talked about getting back together, we communicated, we saw each other, and then he talked to me and he's like, I just have to give this to God, because I feel like it's me making it happen, not God. And I need to know that I'm doing what God wants me to do. So I respected him for saying that, but I was also furiously mad at him for putting me through it a second time. And yet I remembered my commitment to let God write the story. And to cry my eyes out, but to not be angry and to not, but just to forgive and let God finish it. And God finished it. I mean, it's not completely finished because we're still alive, but but God was faithful. He was so faithful, and he was so patient, and he was so good to me through the whole thing. And it wasn't until after many years that I remembered the prayers I had prayed. God, help me, whatever happens, to hang on to you and to trust you no matter what. And I realized that that is exactly the prayer God had answered through that whole situation. And I guess I just want to encourage you guys that when you pray prayers like, let me draw closer to you, God wants to answer that prayer. But it probably does not look anything like you think it's going to look like. And most likely it is going to be through suffering. It is going to be through pain or something that tests your faith, that you're going to realize that God is the one that you can trust, that God is the one you can hang on to. I wanted it to be all roses and fun, but I wouldn't have had a reason to trust him if it had been. We only have to trust him when it's dark and when we can't see. So keep in mind when you leave that you've been praying to get closer to God. God wants to be closer to you. But don't be alarmed if it doesn't look like what you think it's going to look like. And trust him even if it seems like he's deliberately, outrightly hurting you. Because if he is, he's doing it for the specific purpose of bringing you closer, not pushing you away. And if you allow your heart to be soft, like Jenny's been talking about with the clay, don't resist him. Just let it hurt and let him work the work that he's working, because he is doing it out of love. Now, I really wish I could read to you all of the wonderful, amazing, beautiful promises in the Bible, but I don't have time. And I would really like to send you guys home with those promises. You need to get into the Bible yourself and read them, because it's going to be life or death. It's going to give you the strength that you need to keep standing when nothing else will. It is the Word of God. The Word of God is the only thing that never changes, that's always the same, that is rock solid. You can't go wrong by trusting it. Even when it looks, and it often does, like it's not true. It is true, and you can trust him. So I decided that instead, since I don't have time to give you all these verses, who of you would like me to send you verses in the mail, maybe like on a weekly basis, that can help you? Or maybe through a text, I guess that would work too. I'm still old school. I like sending things in the mail. But how many of you would like me to do that for you, to send you verses that can be your rock, your lifeline? Now I have to write all these names down. Close with prayer. Lord, I just pray that you would be with every one of these dear girls. And I just pray that you would reveal to them how much you love them, and that they would be able to hang on to you with all of their strength, no matter what comes in their lives. I just pray that they would remain faithful to you and trust you. And I know that you will hold them up and that you will be with them. I just pray that you would protect them all and that you would help us to grow. In Jesus' name, amen.